We are back at the book of Jeremiah and asking the question, who changed our culture? Wait a minute. I was born in 47, and so I was 3 years old when the 50s came and 13 when they left. That was my growing up time. And, you know, we had Leave It to Beaver, we had Father Knows Best, and we had all these wonderful things that was sort of a reflection of life at the time. And then everything changed. So we're going to be looking at that. If you notice a little fish or something, a trumpet or something on the background, this was me taking a picture of my horn in the car. I just thought it was an interesting background with all the dots. So don't let that take your mind away from things. So our text is Jeremiah. I won't be reading every single word. You may have my word on that. But before we get there, let's look around and see some good things. During the Thanksgiving season, we love to appreciate all that God has given us that is still unspoiled by sin. So we sing some songs. We sing some songs that remind us of these things. We sing This Is My Father's World by Maltby D. Babcock. Not a usual name, is it? And if you think of this as a poem rather than just a song, although you could actually sing it with you in your own mind, this is my father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is like the planets giving forth music, and I understand they are sound waves, that radio waves at least, that come out of that. This is my father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand, the wonders wrought. This is my father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let earth be glad. Cheers you up just to think about it, doesn't it? To realize that everything is not lost. Everything is not lost. And then one of the songs I love to hear Louis Armstrong sing. Not a sacred song, but it has sacred thoughts. What a Wonderful World by Bob Teeley, George Douglas, George Weiss. He says, I see the trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow so pretty in the sky are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah. Well, I did say it was Louis Armstrong, right? Okay. Now, songs like this, and these are some of my favorites to hear and to meditate on, but these things are true. And it helps us obey Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, meaning venerable, the King James margin tells us, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God wants us to keep our minds positive, to see the beauty of the child's smile, the friendliness of that pet that you come home to. It's wonderful things that God has given us, and by thinking on them, we recognize this. But my message deals today with the fact that as we look around, we see other things that do not make us rejoice or give thanks. We see the effects of sin on our beloved country, on our family, and on our friends. I remember how Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And people have asked, why would he weep? He knew what he came to do. He came to raise him from the dead. But in studying the passage, he was looking around and seeing all the tragedy of death. And he knew where death came from. The wages of sin is death. When Christ had molded the body of Adam from the clay of that first planet Earth and breathed into his mouth the breath of life, and he woke up, he had given him a life that would never end. But then sin came, as God knew it would, and death came. The consequences of sin, not your sin, my sin, but just sin entering the world. The whole second law of thermodynamics began, where everything started to run down. Death pressed upon the entire universe. And so I think that he wept because this was the way things are, not the way he intended that he had first hoped. So we also weep at the destruction of sin allowed to run free. We remember that Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, and he wept at God's judgment on his nation. So we weep to see the failing and the falling of America. Let us take time this morning to ask who changed our culture. Now, it's my clear opinion, and I think we can see it from the scripture, going back to what God gave Jeremiah to say at a time of condemnation, that it was not the common man. He goes about his business, tries to provide for his family, especially not the Christian who seeks to serve God and his neighbor. We didn't change the culture to evil. So who was it? Well, by taking our cue from Jeremiah, we see that Jeremiah addressed God's condemnation to three groups. God saw it was three groups. These are three influential groups that God gave to man to influence people for the right and against evil. But they changed their work, their purpose. The first, really, that he mentions are the political leaders. The political leaders. Jeremiah 1, 2, and 3, here at the very beginning, verse 1, it says, I'm Jeremiah, and God said to me, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. All of this saying that it came during the time of these kings. And God actually says to him there, I have put you over them. Now, the idea here is that God did not elect him to be some emperor here in that sense. But he said, my words in your mouth. You are speaking for me. Therefore, you may speak to these highest leaders in the government and tell them what they did wrong and what they ought to do to get right. You ought to tell them that as they choose the wrong, they will see the consequences of sin. I take this to mean that as an American, I have a right to speak my mind concerning political matters. But as a Christian and as one who is proclaiming the Word of God, I have a responsibility to speak to the individuals. I will bow to their authority. God is clear on that. But I will speak to the individuals who are using that authority to the best of my ability. I can't call them together in my home and talk to them. I don't think they would come. But the point is that to the degree I can, I will lift my voice to say to them, you have done wrong by our country, not by passing this law or that law, but by the attitude you had in not following God and following a path completely opposite to God. Listen to Jeremiah 22, 11 and 12. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shallum, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of his place, he shall not return thither any more, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Jeremiah is given the job to speak bluntly, soberly, that God is condemning this individual called Shallum. We're not sure exactly who it's referring to. There was a Shallum. There was also another person who took over after Josiah that is not named Shallum. Maybe that was a different name. Sometimes people had different names that we went by. That's not important. The point here is that he was to say to him, I have said that you're going to be taken away in captivity, and you'll die in captivity, never returning to your homeland. Again, a message came in chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Therefore saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him. He doesn't get taken captive. Saying, ah, my brother, ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, of a donkey, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of the Jerusalem. He says, when he dies, they'll drag his carcass out and toss it into a ditch. Let the animals and the birds feed on him. No great ceremony. No, oh, this, oh, that, oh, what his glory was and so on. This is a terrible end for a man of political power. And so he says, this is the condemnation that God is giving to you. So Jeremiah spoke soberly, but sadly of God's judgment. We should also speak not merely politically, but ethically of America's governments. God set up such leadership to enforce his moral code. We are to do this, but not with malice. We are to do it with the sadness of Jeremiah. Remember the painting. There he is. Rembrandt's version of it. Just holding his head, seeing his world pass away. See, God had given leadership to people, but for a purpose. Romans 13, 1 and 4. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or ordered of God. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. That was God's purpose. That was the purpose that allowed the believer to say, well, he's not a godly man. He's not a believer like us, but God is controlling him to enforce laws that make our life safer. When he violates that, if you see what I'm saying, if he violates that, then it is time for us to speak out and say, this is wrong. It's not just poor politics. It's not bad for your political health. This is wrong. This is bringing forth the judgment of God. He goes on to say, But if thou do that which, he says to the citizen, if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Not to excuse evil and to bring a sword upon those who are trying to resist that evil. Our political leadership has given homosexuality legal establishment. More than that, they compel the rest of us to avoid criticism under the threat of hate crimes. We, as Christian believers, discourage homosexuality out of love for those deceived. It is harmful, it is damaging, it is terribly unclean. A doctor went to a house of homosexual practice, and he said, I scrubbed myself fully when I left. He says, people were having as many as 5-6 partners, putting things places that you just don't want to do that. Our leaders promote evil socialism, discourage the hands of hardworking Americans. We see that they're manipulating tax laws and tax breaks, giving up to their favored people who are actually leading things in sin. So let us call them out, not for being Democrats or Republicans, but for misleading the population into evil instead of executing wrath on evil, as was God's intention. So political leaders, you say, well, how do I speak to them? Because you're speaking the word of God. You're not saying it's my opinion. God calls you to do what is right, to support the right, to execute wrath on the evil. But you are taking up the cause of evil and enforcing it upon the rest of us. They're not the only ones. The second group are what I'm calling the cultural leaders. Now, they're not called that in Jeremiah's time. See, that's a horn. Can you see the horn? Yeah, okay. That's like, all right. Jeremiah 1:18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land. And he starts speaking who he's talking about, against the princes, the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, those who have led it and those who have followed. But here he mentions the princes. We see again in Jeremiah 4, 8, and 9. For this, gird you with sackcloth, which is what they did when they were bewailing a person's death or fasting to try to get God to listen to their prayers. Gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish. The heart. This is where the heart just gives up. Everything I'm standing for is gone. He says, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, the prophets shall wonder. Now, looking at the princes here, the princes were not very much rulers, but they were people of the house, of the king. And so the princes of the kingdom were the rich and famous of the day. You translate that culturally, you see. So the tabloids followed their fashions, and the daytime TV shows invited their opinions, always on some TV show telling their opinions about the disaster of global warming. But God condemned them because they influenced the culture of their countries. As it is today, the thinkers run the media, both vocal and electronic, and the non-thinkers absorb it. What they hear is what they hold to. This is why, I don't know what you call it, lower class, whatever you want to call it, these are the people that are not... highly educated, don't analyze things. They just pick things up. We of the more middle or moderate classes are the last to sense this influence. And when we do notice it, by the time we do notice that the culture is affecting us, we think of it as just a new fad or a new fashion. We don't often ask where it came from. where is this thing coming from? I was really disturbed, surprised to find that because homosexuals invented abnormal sexual practices, that we find even evangelical preachers advocating such things as okay for consenting adults. See, nobody stopped to say, where did these aberrant practices begin? Well, we're following the way homosexuals relate to each other, doing this to our husbands and wives. Today, the thinkers express themselves in music and other art forms. They write the opinion pieces in fashionable periodicals. They appear as experts on TV shows. Somebody was just quoting one of the experts that said, if we don't do anything about global warming, the seas will die in the year 2012. So, oops, missed that. One man, in fact, looked around and he said, there's no practice that is so vile, so defiling, that at any moment a TV show could not find some academic egghead who will defend it. You'll find somebody saying, but I think it's good. Why, it's liberating, you know. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be supporting that. There's no end to these people think they know what they're doing. The Dr. Spock, not Mr. Spock, he was wiser, but Dr. Spock, who came out with the great book telling people, don't spank your children. You know? And the generation ended up being the hippies, you know, and really not a good end to his idealistic concept. Just wrong thinking. So let's understand this. Let us speak out, as Jeremiah did, against the cultic fashions, against the music, against the shows that legitimize sin. Let us say, that offends me. Everybody's so afraid to offend everybody. Let's be the people offended. This offends me. This offends my family. They have led us to ridicule the Bible and faith in God. They've argued our culture away from absolute right and wrong into situational ethics. It's only wrong if it's bad for that situation. We're like the people of the time of the judges. What were they like? Well, Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in the land, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Again, Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, you see. Various times in the judges. There was no standard. And he says no king, there was no political leader, there was no cultural leader telling them to do what is right. They were saying, be your own person. Walk to the beat of a different drummer. Do whatever you want. As a result, today we see no difference between love and selfishness. Love is just taking somebody to use them selfishly. We think of ourselves as in a universe of matter with no God, no social truths, no meaning in life. The future is entirely uncertain. You and I know that the world will not end today. We know that it will not end tomorrow. That if the rapture happened today and the tribulation period began tomorrow, there would be 7 years of tribulation. And after that, there will be 1,000 years of Christ reigning on this earth. The world cannot end today, will not end today. But for these people, entirely uncertain. They are the speck in the middle of the universe with all the unknowns out there, and at any time, the future may end. No plan, no hope, no purpose. Some super science experiment may bring computers to intelligent life. You ever understand how ridiculous it is that mechanical things would actually take on intelligent life? This is the invention of God. They can't do that. It is impossible, as close as they might imitate it. They can't think like man. Some super experiment may open the world to alien dimensions and their monsters. Just saw a movie where they went up in space and they were doing this fantastic experiment to get sort of everlasting energy for failing planet Earth. But in doing that, they cracked the dimensional barrier and they brought down giant, I don't know, fire-breathing monsters on Earth and stuff, you know. People say, I don't know, might happen. Because they don't know. They live in a world without any purpose, without any guidance. And then there's another group, and I'm sad to bring it to you, but the church leaders. They didn't have the church back then, but they had the leaders. In Jeremiah 23:14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. He says, I have seen in the prophets of Jerusalem filthiness, the uncleanness, you see. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return, meaning repent. They don't repent from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Not just sinful, but damaging others. Strengthening the hands of evildoers. The prophets. The prophets were the people that were supposed to be sharing the word of God, revealing the word of God, emphasizing, calling the people back to the word of God. But what are they doing? Well, across America, we see churches that have abandoned the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. In all of this, at the best, we see preachers use the Bible to preach their own messages. At the worst, we see the word faith preachers invent strange, ridiculous mythologies of man ruling God and man commanding the powers of wealth and health. All you have to do that is to send them money. The news media hails any immorality of preachers. They love that. Indirectly condemning all preachers, and in fact all believers, as sinners in disguise pretending to be morally superior. You couldn't fool us anymore, could you? You knew it had to come out. Listen to Jeremiah 23. I have heard what the prophets said. God's listening. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. How weak is that, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. They see no really difference between this God or that God. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, telling the dreams, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, the frothiness of their preaching. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. He sent the prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, to profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, sent them to profit the people, to edify them, to build them up, to strengthen them. You feed them lies, you feed them your dream, and it gives them no profit. God established the prophets to reveal the word of God to the people. Instead, they preach their own ideas, their own hearts, as if it were true, as if it were God's word. One preacher dreams a dream, and if it gets him the results in attendance or income, the other preachers echo his words. The church is echoing the world. Going through my books, we threw away a bunch of books by a Christian man, well-intentioned man named Naramore, who basically was a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and he tried to put Christian words to secular psychiatry. This was a man preaching, echoing the world, learning what he learned from the world, saying this is Christian counseling. That was all I had before Jay Adams came up with the competent to counsel. And he said, you know what? When you know the word of God, you know more about correcting these people's problems than the psychiatrist does. The idea here is that when churches organize their church upon business, profit-making business schemes, they've violated the whole thing that God gave. They are preaching echoes of the world. So, let us challenge false doctrine when we hear it. A friend recently put out on her Facebook page, you can't follow God's word if you don't know God's word. Let's expand that and determine to learn the Bible so we can take intelligent issue with false teachers. It's just false. Here's my conclusion. As America sins, God's consequences multiply. People suffer and despair. Now some begin to ask, what is wrong? Who can help? What can I turn to? The turn away from God, the turn away from the Bible has been long enough now that people don't even know what you're talking about when you start talking about God and the Bible. Somebody was just telling me that they were talking to these people that have been churched. And they said, you know the books of the Bible? No. Are there books? My wife's teaching our kids this. Our leaders in politics and culture and churches commit the worst sin yet. Because the people begin to ask, where can I go? What can I do? What needs to happen here? I see these pathetic things where, you know, black-on-black crime. And the only answer they have is to have these vigils, send balloons up in the air. I don't despise them for that. I'm saying, what a weak response. This is the despair. This is, we can't do anything. Let's just hope somebody notices a balloon and doesn't kill anybody else. We need a black community to reorganize instead of following some black culture as though that was sacred, to follow the culture of God, to understand the truth, to take the Bible, to go to church, to understand these things. What are our leaders saying? Jeremiah saw it. Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed also the hurt or the bruise or the break of the daughter of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 8:11, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people lightly, saying, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So prices are rising so far out of control that people are not going to be able to afford to live, paying their energy bills and they're buying their food. But listen to them. Calming the panic of crime and soaring prices. Everything is fine. These are just the effects of our predecessors. You may need some psychiatric help for calming drugs, but everything is fine. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. You and I must take a different tack. We must say sin is the problem. people who advocate sin and promote sin are the problem. Leaders who do not combat sin are the problem. We are seeing the consequences of sin that God warned would come. You have shut out God and you have shut out the blessings of God. They think they're getting rid of rules when they get rid of God. But you know what they're getting rid of? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not good one day and bad the other. You take away God, you take away every good gift, every perfect gift, everything that's wonderful came from God. You turn your back on that, and what's left? Bad things. And that's where we are. Let's pray. Father, we live in a day where we want to recognize this is my Father's world. When we can look around and see that what has been undefiled in the sky and the garden and the faces of people who love each other, this is a wonderful world. But we recognize that the pressures upon us are great, and this is the consequences of sin unregulated, sin uncontrolled, sin that has kept us from hearing the truth and being persuaded by the truth. I ask that you might guide and direct us and help us to become the people we ought to be. And like Jeremiah, weep for our country. Weep for the people growing up in our culture. But to speak, and to speak the condemnation that should shake people loose, and then speak of your salvation and how you could change things and change things quickly. But we ask that you might bind us to the effort of your word. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, I recognize that things are bad. I recognize that things need to change. But I haven't really understood that I need to be a part of that. Well, God said, you do. This is you, and he's given the word of God into your heart. Are you willing today to be willing to say what you can, where you can, to whomsoever you can? Are you willing to be the word that speaks to our politicians, to our influential media types, to the church leaders that seek to build a big church without understanding the truth of God? Are you willing to do that? Will you submit to God for that? If you are, I wonder if you just say, I'll raise my hand, I pledge this, and I'll ask God's help in this thing. Would you do this? Yes, amen. Amen. Speak where you can speak. Sound your voice. Let them be heard. Finally, somebody will say, there seems to be a lot of this going around. People are upset with this. Politicians will listen to that. The people of influence want to keep their influence. Yes, I'll be willing to do that. Father, then we thank you that we have an opportunity to see where things are going wrong, how they are continually going wrong, and what we ought to do to react against it, to save our people, our nation, our country, our culture from utter destruction. We pray thy blessing then, Father. Give us strength to do what we know is right. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.